This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. Short week again for us. This is great. Love these Friday games.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I got more hot Friday takes. I may just do a show from my living room.
You should.
Just to the dog, you know.
Yeah, called Joey Harrington up. Did you see him out there? By the way, we don't have Dan Lanning yet, but he is expected to call shortly.
Yeah.
Did you see Harrington out there doing something pregame? Did you catch that?
No. Well,
you were in the stadium.
I was in the stadium.
They showed him on the broadcast. He was like, I don't know. What was he doing?
He was like banging a Big Ten drum or something like that?
Yeah, some sort of...
His hair looked great again.
Yeah.
It always does. His hair is on point lately. That son of a bitch. No, I mean, we were tailgating a little bit, and then we got in the stands, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes before kick. So I got to see they did the Duck, Greatest Showman on Earth. I saw that tribute and the video and all that, but I did not see Joey out there banging on a drum.
Oh, he was out there.
Yeah. Well, I think he was hosting that Heisman House thing, right? I mean, yeah, he was there doing some pregame stuff. I know that. It's a great environment.
Well, yeah, we talked to him on Friday.
Yeah.
But I didn't know he was going to be hitting the gong.
They didn't ask me to bang the gong.
Why would they ask you?
I don't know.
They don't care about you.
No.
Hey, BYU, you're undefeated. Where's my gong? And I head down to Provo. I call him up and be like, hey, I'd like to...
They don't even want you.
No. It's like, hey, can I come bang the drum, the gong? They're like, yeah, no, we're not doing that.
I thought they told you not even to come around there. Didn't they?
They say, get. No, I mean, I don't come back that often. When I do, I pull a Joey. I buy my own tickets. Go sit in the go
do
sit
we really
in the stands.
Think he bought his own tickets?
Because
I don't.
No, well, he said that he was going to, and then someone reached out to him.
That he was going to, like, I'm not saying that he wouldn't, but I wouldn't think he would ever have to. That's one of those, like, the guy never buys another meal in the city that he played in or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, he may be weird. I could get tickets. I mean, one of my teammates is the head coach down at BYU, and I knew coaches that were there until the last couple years, and I've gone down to 3 or 4 different BYU games over the years, and I just always bought tickets. I don't know. There's some people that I think are very comfortable doing asking and kind of being that, and other people just kind of want to sit in the stands and enjoy.
Well, I think it's one thing to be Joey Harrington. I think he said he called a friend, and he was like, hey, you got any extra tickets? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he pointed out that he bought them. It's one thing to... to call him up and say, hey, I'll definitely pay for him.
Yeah.
And most of the time with Joey Harrington, they're like, don't worry about it.
And to be fair, there is a difference between me and Joey Harrington and our two respective schools.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking you maybe didn't understand that for a minute there. No. I was getting a little worried about you.
I am not on any BYU pregame hype video. They don't have that.
So. Well, Dan Lanning is normally on time.
Yeah.
Usually very punctual.
He is not today.
Interesting.
This
is a first.
Yeah.
Does he know that I'm going to ask him about his big front door? Is he ducking my front door question?
That's probably it.
I mean, look, quite frankly, I feel that's a custom door, and I need answers. I need answers.
Oh,
to this
it's
size
definitely a custom door.
I, you know, you didn't buy that at the Home Depot. I want to know if that, and the handle. How big is the handle? I feel like he's ducking me right now, and quite frankly, you know.
Well, when he calls, we'll get him on. The Vancouver Ford text line is 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further. Vancouver Ford, they treat you right before, during, and after the sale. VancouverFord.com. I do have one NFL note that I think is great.
Note away.
And this is thanks to Iowa,
mm-hmm.
but it pertains to the Seahawks too. Did you know that there are two white starting cornerbacks in the NFL for the first time in 20 years?
Well, Cooper DeJean, is he officially starting now?
He did.
So yes. last week I saw that he was playing a bunch. I did not know that he officially had made the start.
Yeah, two white guys, Cooper DeJean and Riley Moss, both from Iowa.
Yes.
And he plays for Denver, I think.
Now, I did not know that there was two. I knew that when DeJean was drafted, dude, this is like seeing like an endangered like albino rhino. Like, The white corner has not existed since Jason Sehorn. I believe that was the last time
That's
we
correct.
Had a white corner.
Yeah, and outside of him, because so I was reading an article about this, and they said there have been 15 white starting cornerbacks all time in the NFL.
Yeah.
Outside of Jason Sehorn, can you name another one besides the two I just mentioned from Iowa? I mean, nobody knows who these guys are.
Look.
What the hell?
And when they did play, it's like a safety had to move down and be a nickel or something. It doesn't happen.
Although well, I thought that was great.
I did play at a school that we specialized in white corners, although which is probably why we weren't very good.
Well, there's a guy, so the Seahawks lost Rayshon Jenkins
mm-hmm.
to
yeah,
the IR.
Yeah, he's on IR.
Now, he's a safety, not a corner.
Yes.
But the guy they called up from the practice squad is Ty Okada.
Mm-hmm. Are we going three white corners now?
He's a white kid from Montana State.
Oh, well, he won't start, though.
No, he won't. And he's a safety.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, dude, there's plenty of white safeties.
Yeah.
The white corner, though, I can't believe we had two of them. I didn't know. I just thought we had the one. I thought we had DeJean.
Yeah, there are two. It's quite possibly the next coming of the white corner. It's begun. The ball is a rolling. It's heading downhill. White guys more athletic now.
That's where we're at now.
You know. Oh. Well, is that going out over the air?
I hear a ring.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Let's make sure that
who's winning? What is occurring?
I think,
dude, we get
Buckley's getting the coach here.
We get a white corner in the NFL, and all of a sudden, all hell is breaking loose, man.
I know.
Who's the guy for Denver?
Riley Moss, right?
Riley Moss.
I think his name's Riley Moss. Okay, I think we have Coach Lanning. Coach, can you hear us? Hello.
Yeah, I got you guys. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Good. You ever been to West Lafayette?
No, this will be a first. This will be a first.
Yeah, never been there either. Well, I'll report back next week.
Yeah, it's not really been high.
I'll let
on,
you know.
It hasn't been high on my to-do list.
No.
But, you know, hey, you got work to do.
That's right.
There is one thing about Purdue that's pretty interesting, and that is that they made an offensive coordinator change. So their head coach, I think, calls the plays, or at least did last week, and they also have a backup quarterback in, and then they drop 49 on a pretty good Illinois defense. How much harder does that make it for you to prepare when a team has swapped play callers and quarterbacks in a span of a couple weeks?
Yeah, it's definitely a huge challenge. I don't think any team can go reinvent everything they've done all season in a matter of, you know, 2 weeks, but they definitely have a different identity in what they're trying to do. And Coach Walters has done a hell of a job with accomplishing what he's trying to accomplish there, and obviously put up a lot of points this week.
So when you study an offense that you're playing, is it more just the offense, or how much of it or what percentage of it is the play caller?
Well, I think it's both. Yeah, I think it's both. But I think last week is the first time Coach Walters has ever called a game. So you still study, you know, previous games as well. What have they had success with, you know, elsewhere in the season? But it's not like I can go and say, hey, let me watch some other games that he's called before, because this is that first run for him, and had a lot of success.
How far do you go back? Is it do you go back 3 or 4 games? I mean, at this point, you got 5 or 6 under the belt. Do you look at all 6? Like, where's kind of the time frame for you?
Yeah, I mean, we break down all the games. Doesn't mean you look at them as extensively. Obviously, you put a lot more focus on, you know, the most recent game, because this is the one that he called. But yeah, every opponent's a little bit different. If you're playing somebody you've played before, you spend some time looking at, you know, your previous game, and, you know, and how that played out. But you try to take a glimpse of everything that they're doing and what they're doing most recently.
Well, let's talk about a game that you guys most recently played. I'll tell you right now, that's a top 3 game that I've ever been to in person. Environment was incredible. 2 heavyweights going at it. What time do you get home from that? When the celebration ends, was there recruiting involved? Do you see what time does Dan Lanning walk into his giant front door after a game like that?
Yeah, it was a late night that night. We had a lot of great players on campus for sure, and yeah, there was a lot of things to be doing right after that game. So it was well after midnight before I got to get in the house that night.
Yeah, you can. I think you said you can sleep when you die. Great quote, by the way.
That's right.
That's a bit like the being sick is a choice. Yeah. I love that. Now, one thing I wanted to know
It's universal truth.
The thing that I thought was really, really cool is as just a fan is watching a coach. And we all know, well, maybe we don't, but we can deduce how hard you guys work and all the effort you put into winning a game like that. Your sheer jubilation after that game was absolutely awesome. And I want to know what it feels like. So you win the game. The fans swarm the field. The players are out there. You have to do your TV interview. Right after that, there was a moment where you're just swarmed by fans and your hands are up in the air. Like, what? Right there. What does that feel like to Dan Lanning?
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, it was a fun, emotional game. Like you said, you put so much effort and energy into it, and it was the culmination of a lot of hard work by a lot of people. And for me, I think I said this after the game, it's not so much how excited I am for myself. It's really how excited I am for all the players and the fans and so many people that care about Oregon football that they get to enjoy that moment.
Yeah, and like I know it was a big recruiting weekend for you guys, a lot of recruits on the sidelines, and just, I don't know, it's like, I know you did that team out west, but is the secret out now? I mean, I just, from a national standpoint, people are talking about that one of the best games. I mean, national guys, some of the best football they've ever seen, best environment they've ever seen, not west of the Rockies. Is the secret kind of out now that this is a special place when you get a game like that?
Yeah, I think the secret's out. No, definitely think the secret's out. There's nothing quite like Autzen on game day. And obviously when you get to play premier football teams like Ohio State, that creates and even makes the environment even better.
Does it change a little bit that now, I mean, it should have been this way into the season, but you win a game like that, people start talking playoffs or whatever, that you kind of become the Super Bowl. You've gone from the hunter to the hunted. Do you have to guard against letdowns and understand that you're getting everyone's now a game for the rest of the year?
You know, I've always felt like we always get everyone's a game, to be honest. I always feel like people try to bring their best, and there's nobody out there that coaches that's not trying to coach their team to play their best when they play us or any other team. So, you know, I don't think it completely changed the process. It probably just changed the narrative, and it changes the fact that there's more and more noise that doesn't matter that we have to train ourselves to ignore. But it doesn't change, you know, what our focus is and our process.
This is Dan Lanning. Oregon headed to Purdue to take on the Boilermakers Friday here on The Fan. How do you curate your weekly message? They put out, you know, those post game videos, and you were talking a lot last week. I think even here about the jab. You know, you had the prize fight analogy. It seems that you're often quite calculated with a mantra each week. Where does that come from? Who and how?
Yeah, I mean, it's a collaboration of pulling, you know, thoughts from different people on our staff, or thoughts that I have going into the game, and you know, sometimes the message kind of builds itself, you know, but that was one where, felt like
it fit, you know, really the narrative of this game. I think so often people play in big games, moments like that, and they think all of a sudden that they got to go make a game-changing play every minute. And that was really the focus of that, is it's not about throwing haymakers. It's about, you know, making your punches count. And each week we kind of have a general theme that I really kind of, with some of our staff and support, laid out some general thoughts before the season even started about, hey, this is where I think we might be at this moment. This is maybe something we can build off of, and it might adjust. But then I think you always have to be adaptable and adjustable throughout the week to what might show up and how it plays out.
Yeah, in some ways that can be as important as, you know, all the film. What is it this week? What is the sort of the theme to the mantra?
Yeah, I don't normally always share it, but in general, it's boots on the ground. This is our chance to go. You know, this is really our first longer road trip that we'll be making, hopping into enemy territory. And we got to go out there and execute. And the people that are going to matter in that stadium are the people that are on that plane as we fly across the nation.
I want to ask you, I know that you don't get too much into X's and O's, but I was just intrigued and see if you can answer it. I was surprised that Ohio State played as much man coverage as they did. And by the way, didn't work out very well for him. Turns out you've got some receivers and quarterbacks that like man coverage. Was that a schematic thing that you guys were putting them in, or were you even surprised that they kept in that first half going to man coverage and something that you thought you could exploit?
Well, there's benefits. You know, every defensive call and every offensive call has strengths, and every single one of them have weaknesses, right? And I understood what they were trying to accomplish there. I think with a lot of the routes that we run and how we utilize our personnel, that sometimes it's hard to match up with this unless you know I'm guaranteed to have a body on a body and play, you know, man-to-man at times. If you play soft zone, we attack some of the soft zones at times. And then it also allows you to get an extra hat in the box for runs. So I get, you know, and definitely understand why, a team would do that. I think they also, you see them, you know, try to bracket Tez a little bit, and I think that created some opportunities for some other wide receivers on our team and other opportunities for other people on our offense too. So it's hard to defend, man. It's always hard to pick how you want to try to stop a team. And you look at that game and you'll see two teams that had a hard time playing defense as good offenses.
Yeah. On that first drive, there was an interception, it turns out. It was kind of hard to tell, but it was. Mm. What happens there? Is that one where obviously you're hoping that they stop and review? Ohio State wants to get the next play.
Correct.
But what were you thinking of, a timeout? Like, walk us through what was
going on. I think that the thing, timeouts are so valuable. And generally, you kind of count on the officials to get it right if there's something that's worth reviewing. You're asking people up top if there's a view that would be worth, you know, challenging in that situation. And if they can't get a view of it in advance, it's really hard for you to say, okay, they got it wrong on the field. But it certainly felt like one that you thought would have been buzzed down to be reviewed and evaluated by them. But obviously it wasn't. So you focus on what you can control and go from there.
Well, it was also one that was kind of hard to view. Maybe your guys didn't get a very good view, because watching on TV, it was really not easy to tell. Maybe that was part of the problem too.
Right.
Okay. Well, this is Dan Lanning, Oregon. Do you get Saturday off at least this week?
No, we'll work. We'll still work. Well, we won't be packed in there the entire day. We'll certainly peel back some time to be able to watch the Illinois game. You know, that's our next opponent as well. But we'll be in the office there during the day, and then get some time to probably be at home with our family that night.
How much film do you watch? So maybe Saturday you'll be in the office, but then you're probably breaking down the Purdue game, and then you're moving on to, like you said, Illinois. How much time does it take, and how much film do you watch for the next opponent?
A lot. A lot. It takes a lot of time. You watch a lot of film. I don't think, you know, I don't ever believe in stopping to prepare, so I don't think there's such thing as too much film. I think there is such thing as overanalyzing and creating too much for your players, but I don't think there's, you know, such thing as watching too much and utilizing information.
Well, I got to ask you, because you mentioned going home, and I ask the tough questions on this program, Coach. I don't hide from them. And
that's right.
We watched the vignette that they did on you and your family on game day, and it was really, really nice. That was a really well-done piece. But I got to ask you, can we talk about the size of your front door? Do you have the largest front door in Oregon? And is this something that you designed, or did it come with the house? I mean, that thing, I couldn't stop looking at it.
Yeah, it's a cool front door. No, I didn't design it. Came with the house, but yeah, it's a really cool one. I don't know if I've seen a bigger one, but I'm sure somebody has a bigger one.
When you walk through it, is it odd? It seems odd.
No, not anymore. Not now that I've lived here for a little bit. It's not anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
It stood out. That was like when they showed you coming home. That was we both, like we didn't talk to each other. We came on the air the next day and we were like, "Did you see the front door?"
That was the one thing.
That says something about us. But yeah. I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated by like behind the scenes looks. I like how people live.
And it's a nice house.
It's a nice house, but the front door, like that's the piece de resistance.
That's right. No doubt. No, we love the front door.
Bigger closet, remember.
Yeah.
Might need to upgrade that closet. Yeah. All right. Good luck against Purdue. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
That's Dan Lanning. His appearances here on the show are brought to you by Unitas Community Credit Union. Like a coach's playbook, Unitas has a winning strategy for your finances. You. Us. Unitas.
There you go.
All right. Well, there's Coach Lanning.
Yeah.
You got him. A little late.
He was lamenting that to me before he came on with you.
He
said, I can't believe it. First time, I can't believe I forgot.
Oh, he forgot.
I don't know if the reminder didn't go off or what, but as soon as we rang him, he was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, see, I always thought he had somebody there saying, hey,
short week. And,
next on your list.
He's told us before that he has somebody who like loads his schedule every week, so that I think stuff just probably like gets triggered via alerts for him. Maybe the Wednesday thing, who knows?
Well, Purdue can keep you up at night.
Yeah, man.
It's true.
You know, get your mind off of
your
interviews.
You're going into the lion's den, baby. Boots on the ground.
All right, Dan Lanning post game, and then in the news on The Fan. Bella once said, there is a new leader in the Portland mayoral race.
Yeah, I saw we had the big debate.
And I have, I didn't watch the debate, but I do have some info for you on this guy. And it is a male.
I saw some...
Is it Mingus Maps?
Nope.
Nay.
Not Mingus.
Dang.
It's a guy you probably have not heard of yet, but he's making waves.
Yeah, it kind
of
threw me for a loop.
That'll be next. Wrapping up, Dan Lanning.
The post-game show.
Yeah, the big Purdue game. I fancy him a get-in, get-out guy on games like this.
Yeah.
You know, you have a major advantage on both lines.
Yep.
So you just pound it down their throat, nothing fancy, bleed the clock, board the bus.
There you go. Yeah, because at this point, you know, there's no style points or whatever. And again, you're trying to stay healthy. And, you know, anytime you're a team like Oregon, you're playing Purdue, as long as you don't shoot yourself in the foot and do a bunch of dumb things, you'll be fine.
Bludgeon them in the first half. Try to get the backups in as soon as possible.
There you go.
They're not even staying in West Lafayette. Did you see that?
No, where are they staying?
Indianapolis.
How close is that?
Oh, I think Dusty was saying something about maybe they possibly doing a Big Ten title game. Same place, you know, if we happen to get there.
Oh, okay. That makes
sense. This is, you know.
Yeah. The hotel would be the
create one. Some routine.
Yeah, create some routine to it.
It would be the one they would stay in if they got there.
Yeah.
And
so, maybe a little look ahead there.
Nobody likes West Lafayette.
Is there a nice hotel in West Lafayette?
Well, I'm sure there is, but
it's better than East Lafayette.
Yeah. Why does no one talk about East Lafayette?
Or North or South Lafayette, for that
It's like
matter.
East Lansing. You don't hear about West Lansing.
No, you don't.
What's going on?
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I would assume that's a decent size. I remember once we played Wyoming, and we had to stay at like three different hotels. At three different hotels,
didn't have one in Laramie big enough to house all.
There's one hotel in Laramie that's like a decent size, and there was a murder trial going on.
Mm. Oh,
that was the one. I forget. It was a heartbreaking tale. It was where the two guys lured the. I think it was Shepherd.
Oh, Matthew Shepard.
Matthew Shepard.
Yeah.
They lured him.
That was a gay kid.
Yeah, they lured him to his death and like beat him and like tied him to a fence or whatever. That trial was going on in Laramie, so the only hotel was booked. So we stayed at like two or three separate hotels across the street, and they were like, it was like a Motel 6 sort of thing. It was quite interesting. But yeah, for the most part, there's usually, at least in small cities, there's always at least one like Marriott that's a decent, you know, that you go to. But maybe West Lafayette just isn't bringing, you know, a proper accommodations. I'm going to see what the nicest hotel in West Lafayette is.
Maybe you can call them and fly your duck flag out there like Cooper Manning.
Yeah, something tells me West Lafayette,
go
you know,
blow some ducks
with enough money, you know, maybe.
Maybe you. Oh, maybe they'll let you.
Yeah, maybe they'll let you. I'm trying to, like, the TripAdvisor.
This is terrible.
Know before you go.
But I picture West Lafayette much like, well, I mean, Purdue's there, so it can't be. I mean, I love college.
Mm-hmm.
campuses and towns. But I just picture it kind of like Gary, Indiana.
Yeah. Well.
And that's really unfair of me.
Okay, well,
because Gary's awful.
Well, here are the things to do.
Yeah, I just pulled up a list as well.
To know, you know, before you go. So there's Purdue University, number one. Ross Aid Stadium, the football stadium. And then you got Mackey Arena.
We're not off to a good start.
Well, you know what comes next? A little something I like to call Annie's Orchard.
Okay.
That's right. Annie's Orchard. Rob? That's a little rough. And then there's a Fort Quinaton, which just looks
there's
like...
There's always a fort.
Yeah. It looks really sad and depressing. And places to stay, would you care to guess? The number one place to stay.
Well, hold on. You're just glossing right over the nature area, the Celery Bog nature area.
Oh, that's not on my list. I didn't see it.
I'm going to say the Comfort Inn.
The Celery Bog is where I want to be.
That would be the number one place to stay, according to TripAdvisor, is the Hampton Inn and Suites in West Lafayette.
They apparently have a nice zoo as well.
Mm. Yeah, only 45,000 people live there.
Yeah.
So no wonder they're staying in Indianapolis.
Yeah, something tells me it's probably for the best.
Well, if you want to know...
And the number one restaurant that pops up, and I S you not...
Oh, no.
Golden Corral.
Don't say it.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah!
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the West Lafayette, great for food, and this is what... TripAdvisor.
He's going to go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hugs.
Number one is Buffalo Wild Wings. I can guess what number four is. Because number two and three are local spots. Harry's,
well, what are they? I want to hear about
Harry's
them.
Chocolate Shop.
I like local. Okay.
Applebee's.
And then the Nine Irish Brothers.
Okay.
That's so number three.
Irish restaurant bar.
Yeah. And then number four. Considering Buffalo Wild Wings is one.
Yeah.
This is number
four.
Well,
it's probably...
Wingstop.
No, it's probably like...
Wing. Fuddruckers.
You're thinking way too high end.
Is it Pancake House?
Dairy Queen.
But go back. What did you say originally?
Applebee's.
Applebee's?
Applebee's.
Hell yeah.
According to TripAdvisor,
we're eating there.
Top four.
Riblets.
Buffalo Wild Wings one. Applebee's number four.
Riblets. Purdue football.
Boy, I'm telling you. Why
Boiler aren't we, up, boys.
Why aren't we going? Why aren't we wheels up on our way to West Lafayette?
I can think of a few reasons why. But... The Ducks will be out there
you
on
You can't
Friday.
Get Isaac to go to Autzen Stadium, let alone Ross Aid Stadium.
I love this.
You could pay me to
this
go.
This is right up your this right up your alley, man.
I don't think it is.
Would Isaac go if they let you fly in the Ducks team plane?
No.
No.
Why would I go to this?
I don't know. I mean, if you get to fly with Dan Lanning, the Ducks, you wouldn't go?
No.
Oh, all right.
I don't care.
That's not doing anything. What if I told you there was a Skipper's in West Lafayette? Would that get you on the plane?
Guys, hey,
that Skipper's clam chowder is delightful.
I've never been to Skipper's.
You've never been to a Skipper's?
No.
More of a
is that like Long John Silver's?
It's a better version of Long John Silver's.
Yeah,
although,
I've never been.
Except
that's
now,
a lot.
There's a Long John Silver's bro who's going to be very angry at that hot take.
Oh, yeah. There's always one.
Yeah.
Out there in the audience. Well, if you need to know anything about Purdue, know that they are 1-5.
Mm-hmm.
Their quarterback was Hudson Card, the Texas transfer, but he's hurt.
Yeah.
And they fired their offensive coordinator the week before last.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was talking about with Dan Lanning, they did drop 49 on Illinois.
Yeah. By the way, they
have a good defense.
Yeah, Illinois is supposed to be pretty solid.
So that's a little, whoa, but they also gave up 50.
Yeah, Notre Dame beat them 66-7.
Yeah, and Notre Dame does not have a good offense.
No, and I don't know if you watched any of this, but the one game that I actually sat down and watched a good hunk of was when Oregon State played them. Oregon State.
Oh, that's right.
Oregon State beat the brakes.
Yeah, score? They handled them. They smoked them.
38-21, and Oregon State just rammed the ball down their throat all game long.
All right. Well, we've spent entirely too much time talking about Purdue. You're welcome. West Lafayette, we're sorry. Mm. I'm sure you're wonderful people, but we're going to move on, and we won't be there.
No. Sorry about that. But if I ever do make it out that way... There's an Applebee's with some riblets with my name on it.
Maybe if we go cover the Big Ten Championship, should Oregon make it, maybe you guys, we could just Uber over to West Lafayette and go to the Applebee's.
You don't think there's one there in Indy somewhere?
Well, I think we need to go to the...
You're missing out on the charm of the one in West Lafayette?
That's right.
When me and my buddy were in Mexico City, there was a night where we had a few soda pops, and maybe we were wandering around the city, and... It was about 1:15 in the morning, and we stumbled across something that was indeed open. And in Mexico City, we went to Chili's.
Oh, my God, really?
We were like...
Dude, what?
We went to a Chili's.
You went to Chili's.
To Southwest Chili's. Eggrolls
in
there?
Mexico City.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It was.
What is the matter with
you? I feel like this is something you would paste somebody else for.
You would totally lambaste someone for doing that.
It was amazing.
It was not amazing. You're an idiot. Isn't Mexico City like one of the culinary capitals of the world
Yes,
now?
It's the most up-and-coming food hub on the planet.
They have so much good food, and we had so much deliciousness, and then we ended up at a Chili's at like 1 in the morning.
My God.
There's a whole story behind how we ended up there, but yes, I was eating chicken tendies at a Mexico City Chili's in the wee hours of the morning.
Dude.
That's terrible.
That is so bad. And I'm really, really hurt and disappointed.
You know what? This is the first time I think I might be disappointed in you.
Yes.
It was packed.
Well, of course it was.
It was the place to be.
Good deal on Margs there?
Had pretty good corn on the cob, I'm not going to lie.
Corn on the cob? Stop it.
I don't know what to tell you. It was a great deal. It's some ribs, some chicken tendies. And yes, they did have good deals on margaritas. Place was jumping. It was at a mall, too.
I have a text from a friend. Can I read it to you?
Yeah, go for it.
Went to West Lafayette in 2008. Worst town ever. The concierge at the Fleabag Motel we stayed in, which was the best motel in town, raved about this great wing spot named B-Dubs.
Oh, boy.
Cab took us there, and sure enough,
Buffalo Wild Wings. Yeah.
Got a speeding ticket, which is another great story. He says.
Number one place to eat on TripAdvisor, B-Dubs. Hey, have you heard
that
of this?
That many people can't be wrong.
You heard of this place called B-Dubs, man?
Can you imagine having a concierge, and when somebody says, hey, where can we go eat?
Yeah, Oregon didn't play there that long ago. Buffalo, they got a double OT winner there.
There's a place called B-Dubs.
I love it.
Which is basically him trying to disguise that it's Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like being in Mexico City and eating at Chili's.
You just then.
We're going to roll down the street to Chi Chi's.
Yeah, that's right. Get yourself some corn.
Oh, it's just a Chili's.
Wait, this is Chili's.
Get yourself some.
B-Dubs and Chi Chi's.
I'm telling you, the universe told us to go to Chili's.
You got to stop defending that.
No.
That's indefensible.
No.
It's absolutely
indefensible. Don't blame the universe for that decision.
The universe The universe led us to Chili's. Have you ever talked about some place and then it happens to appear and it's 1 in the morning and it's, oh, what Chili's is open at a mall at 1 in the morning?
Oh, in a mall. Even better.
In a mall.
You're lucky you didn't get murdered. All right. In the news is next. Is that where we're at? Yeah, we're at In the News.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you about this new mayoral favorite.
Yeah.
In Portland. Yeah. This guy. That's next. Here's Buck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. We're running behind. West Lafayette talk bogged us down a little bit.
BWs.
Right now it is October 16, 2024. It is time for In the News. I'm your Notre Newsman. Hello, thank you.
Oh, there it is. Got nervous there for
a little double clutch. Threw us all off.
It happens, man.
This is brought to you by The Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National Boss Day.
Oh, well, go bosses everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know. Not all of you.
No.
Some of you are good.
Our bosses are pretty cool.
Yeah, we got good bosses here.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
There's a couple I can think of.
How many bosses do we technically have?
Deadweight.
I think we got a lot of bosses.
Well, really, you mean? We really have two.
Two that here. Because the salespeople aren't really our, yeah. But then we got like upper management. Like, I feel like we have like 12 bosses.
Well, upper management doesn't, they're not here.
Yeah. But they're still our bosses.
But they're in the company.
Yeah.
So I think we technically have two bosses.
Okay.
Jeff and Kim. And I haven't seen Jeff in 5 years.
I don't even know if he's still alive, to be honest with you.
Blink twice if you're alive, Jeff.
Jeff, let us know you're okay.
Well, he'll probably send an email here shortly.
Yeah.
He emailed me yesterday.
Oh, so he is alive.
If it's really him.
Yeah, we don't know. He's someone else. We don't know who's sending emails.
Get this, Jace. It is also National Sports Day.
Oh, sports.
Sports.
The old sports ball.
And we love sports.
Yeah.
Sports is sports.
Go sports.
So the guy that they're saying that is leading the mayoral, well, he's not leading the mayoral race. He is keeping up. The latest research shows that he is keeping up with all the hot names.
Yes.
So Commissioner Rene Gonzalez took the initial lead. But this guy here.
See, the one I saw said there was a poll saying he is now leading in the race, not keeping up, that he is the new leader.
Yeah, his name is Keith Wilson.
You got it.
And get this, he is a gray-haired white guy.
Mm-hmm. But that looks like a skinnier version of our boss.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
His big thing, so this says that, the poll was conducted by DHM Research, commissioned and published by Oregon Live.
Sure.
Of course, remember, we have ranked choice voting.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be voting by...
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll be ranking.
Yeah, you put like 1, 2, 3.
Correct.
So, and then as the lower ones drop out.
I think it's top six.
Top six?
You get to choose. Yeah. And there's like 8 billion people on there.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that they had on the debate the other night, Mingus Maps.
Yeah, it's the three commissioners and then this bro, right?
Well, no, there's one other gal on there. I don't know who she is. But let's take a look here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's Mingus Maps, Rene Gonzalez, this guy. Carmen Rubio, and then there's another gal up there. At any rate, they said Rene Gonzalez was at 23%, Carmen Rubio 11%, Wilson was in second at 18%. Mingus Maps, your boy, down there at 10%.
Yeah, so what they do is the...
Oh, Liv Ostis.
I don't know her.
4%.
Not familiar. So, well, she's out. So what they do is, like, every time you put your rankings, and then the lowest one gets the heave.
Yeah.
And then it goes to the next one, and then that lowest one gets the heave until someone gets above 50%, and then that person is the winner.
So anyway, I wanted to read you a little bit about what Keith Wilson thinks about the homeless issue, because this is his big thing. This is why he's gaining traction.
Yeah.
So he said...
What did he say?
Did he say something about late night chilies? Does he like B-dubs? he says, on January 1, the first thing I do is I'm going to promote a public safety emergency, and in doing so, we are going to immediately begin marshaling all of the private-public partnerships, whether it's churches, and as mayor, I'll have access to hundreds of facilities, whether it's community centers, and we'll start bringing that group that I've developed of experts together. Within 30 days, we'll have a plan developed, and then we are going to start standing up nighttime walk-in emergency shelters.
So he has concepts of a plan.
So the plan that I'm proposing is being used not only in communities nearby, like Boise, but it's also being used in Philadelphia. They have mostly nighttime walk-in emergency shelters, so if there's 4,000 souls in Portland, we're going to need 4,000 beds almost overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't necessarily mean everybody is going to come in from outside, but by doing so, we immediately get to enforce our codes, which are there is no camping. No makeshift shelters.
So what you're saying is the dude actually came up with a sensible plan that's being used other places, and it seems to make some sense, and it can enforce rules that we already have, but we can't enforce, and all of a sudden people are liking it. Wow.
Concepts of a plan.
Wow.
So he said, so basically the rule is now, like, they can't really enforce anything.
Yeah, because they don't have enough beds.
If there are no beds open.
Yes.
He's just saying, hey, let's get 4,000 beds, and so there's definitely going to be beds open, and then we can enforce our codes.
Yes.
So it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
But he says, you bring the community. So they say, how are you going to get 4,000 new shelter beds overnight. And he says, you bring the community together. As mayor, I'll have access to all the city assets, whether it's community centers. We saw it happen just a month ago when we had our severe weather storm. We had 4,000 souls living on the streets, and we opened up 12 facilities overnight. Each one of the shelters I'm proposing costs $0. Mm. They are existing facilities. You just repurpose them at night. So then they push back and they say, well, saying it will cost no money is ambitious.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you mean by that? And he says, well, the shelters that United Gospel Mission has that's being housed at the Church of Nazarene, where Shelter Portland is providing financial assistance, $15.55 per night per person. A Safe Rest Village costs $189 per person per night. The United Gospel Mission and Church of Nazarene, with Shelter Portland's financial assistance, is sheltering and caring for people at 8% of the cost of what the city is doing. So that's a...
Yeah, that seems like that's a pretty big savings.
Solid answer.
Yeah.
Solid answer, but yeah. It's not free.
Yeah.
And well, he says...
It's never going to be free, but, you know.
Well, he said zero. I mean, you can't say that, then. No. But how do you plan to... This is an interview he's doing with KGW. He says, they say, how do you plan to approach the people that choose to live outside? And he says, that's their sit-lie law will confirm their behavior. If they want to live on a sidewalk exposed to the elements, that's their right. But by code, they should not be in a tent. So then they ask, well, would you call more groups to hand out tents? And he said, I would hope that that will be the case. I will, as mayor, make sure the city is not and the county should not. Why would we do that? That was a little confusing. Did that make it sound like he said...
It sounded a little...
Yeah, he said no tents.
No tents.
No.
Yes.
Do not give people tents.
Yes, he's basically saying if you want to be outside, that's your right, but you do not have a right,
right.
to set up your camp
Correct.
Wherever the hell you want, which is what I've been Correct. Saying all along. I like this guy already.
So then he says, the first 90 days, once we announce that we're ending unsheltered homelessness, we'll give everybody a 90-day notice and start reuniting them. But at the 91st day, we will remove all the encampments because it's illegal. It's against our codes, but we will have a shelter for everybody.
Yeah.
So that right
yes.
there is the gist of Keith Wilson's plan.
Dude, I'm already on board with what this guy's got going on.
And according to the latest research, he is still trailing, but... closing in on Rene Gonzalez for
okay.
mayor.
All right.
So,
by the way, that that other gal you were talking about, that Liv, she's the stripper.
Really?
Yeah, remember she's...
Oh, we talked about her.
Yeah, we talked about her.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we talked about her before. Yeah, she's the stripper, vegan stripper that, you know...
Yeah.
That old
what does she want to do?
I don't know.
I didn't watch the debate. Yeah, I don't care. I mean, I do care, but...
Look, it doesn't matter. So she got 4%. No offense, but, you know, go away. Get. Although some vegan stripper running Portland would, you know, kind of be on brand, but, you know, it's not going to happen.
I have Funnel Cloud news.
Ooh. Yeah, I saw that. We got, we spotted one.
Yeah.
But we didn't.
That's what happens around here.
The people.
Funnel clouds are nothing more than a, hey, there's one.
Yeah, that's what we get. And then we have to be like, oh, my
gone.
God, tornado.
And yeah, and then it's a headline. this is
when someone sees a black bear.
In the news, October 16. We'll be right back on The Fan. All right, running behind today. Got one time for one more story here on In the News. October 16, 2024. Funnel cloud sighting, Jace. Oh, did you actually see it?
No.
With your own two eyes?
I did not. I just saw the reports and then a blurry photo of what looked like a little bit of a cloud in the background. You know.
Well, I don't know if this picture that I'm seeing here is the actual one, but it looks pretty mean.
The one I saw did not.
But I'm sure there are various pictures of it out there.
Someone just took a photo with their camera. I think I saw it on Twitter, and I don't know. It looked... I mean, it was...
This one looks mean, but it wasn't. This was in Southwest Washington, and of course, you guys, a funnel cloud is what produces a tornado.
Yes.
They said this one was spotted and confirmed by the National Weather Service at 5:10 p.m. You and I were on the air yesterday.
Yes. The one I saw was from Battleground.
Yeah, that's where it was.
But like, this is the photo that I saw, and you know, it looked like some clouds.
Yeah, this one looks way worse, huh?
Oh yeah, that's way worse.
Yeah, that looks like an actual tornado.
Yeah,
but it wasn't.
No,
it was a low T tornado.
That's right. It needed some eugenics in order for it to be a full funnel cloud.
Yeah, they said that, it showed a weak rotation with a shower at the time of the report. The agency also reported that there was no debris being picked up. So,
is that the most insulting thing you can tell a funnel cloud? You're weak. Take your weak-ass rotation. Take it back to Woodland.
Right.
I don't got time for that mess
it's
here.
It's like when you're, you know.
Yeah. week rotation.
That's a new name for
that's
week
right.
rotation.
That's right.
Look, I've had a lot of drinks.
Yeah, well, sorry. Rotation. The rotation's not as strong as it could be. Right?
If you do it anymore, you're going to have problems.
They're not all F5s, all right? Sometimes it's
that's
just
right.
the, that's just the funnel
Sometimes
cloud.
Sometimes you're just getting a funnel cloud, baby.
Yeah, the one I saw was completely underwhelming. But that photo you showed,
yeah,
you know,
it looks pretty.
That'd be a little scary.
That might have just been a stock photo, though.
Someone said you know nickel for every time I've had a weak rotation. Yeah.
Exactly. You know how they like to kind of fool you into thinking some story's bigger than it is? Maybe they just posted a stock photo of a funnel cloud to scare everyone.
We didn't even get like a shed roof.
Nothing.
Off
no,
or
it said no debris was even being picked up. I could have played golf in that.
Would that have been something?
Right in the middle of it.
Yeah. You know, depending on where it's at, you know, it might have helped your game a little bit, you know? You got a little left to righty there, and you play it into the funnel cloud and see what happens.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is in the news for October 16, 2024, brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. We've got the Hot 5 at 5 coming up next, and that will be followed by the continuation. We're already at Wednesday, and we still haven't gotten to everything from the Monday college football beard oil.
No.
Yeah.
So
much
going
on. Get too excited. That's coming up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.